Hi, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the 19th Hole Golf Show. I'm Ryan Balogi. Good to have you here with us as we wrap up this first month of 2019. Get a hold of me on Twitter, at Ryan Balogi. Get email me, ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com. Find Golf News Net on your favorite social media service at the handle Golf News Net. Download our apps for Amazon Fire, Roku TV, as well Apple TV. One quick announcement, since we haven't done the show in the last couple of weeks, basically since before the PGA Merchandise Show, our new golf travel and architecture site is now live, and it's called Golf Trip X, short for Golf Trip Experts, and the website is golftripx.com. Very excited to have it launch. We're doing some really great stuff out the gate. As you may know, if you've listened to the Talking Golf Getaways podcast with Darren Bunch and Mitch Lawrence over the last couple of years, and you should be because it's a great show, those guys are kind of heading up things for us. Darren Bunch is going to be the managing editor of the site. He is the managing editor of Golf Trip X. Mitch is going to run everything on the podcasting end of things, and he'll contribute some stuff here and there, and already has. Did a really moving piece about 5 weeks ago, when he had to have a pacemaker put in, and it happened all of a sudden, and the thoughts that he had kind of after recovery about when can he go play golf again, and his love for travel and seeing the world. And Mitch is one of my favorite people, so it was just a wonderful piece. Eric Hart, who has done so much golf travel writing for us over the last couple of years with a family perspective, is heading up most of the writing, along with Darren, Jay Flemma, who has done a lot of golf travel for us and architecture over the last couple of years. Again, all at GNN will contribute as well. I will certainly write things. Tony Deere, Scott Michaud, we've got some other guys who are interested, who are potentially going to contribute, but those are the kind of guys we've got definitely lined up at this point. Pete Flanagan from regrip.com is going to join us, who I've traveled with in the past and just has such an infectious enthusiasm for golf. So I'm really happy to get it started, and we are kicking things off with our first trip, which is to Sweetens Cove Golf Club, a nine-hole course in South Pittsburgh, Tennessee. If you have heard of it, you know what I mean. If you haven't, it is a mind-blowing nine-hole golf course by King Collins Golf. The guys are just amazing what they did, taking this old golf 18-hole golf course, turning into a nine-hole facility. It's just the most nine fun holes you can play. I mean, it's just an amazingly good time. And so we're going to have a two-day event there for $350 per person for all the golf that you can play over 2 days. We have a bunch of games. We have prizes, a swag bag, beverages, food on the grill, and meals each day. And it's just going to be a good time. So we have 35 spots open right now. Many of them have been accounted for in terms of email. But you can head over to golftripx.com and fill out the form that basically you can express your interest. I think we still probably have about 10 spots available, maybe less than that now, but somewhere in that range. And then we're going to start reaching out to folks to see if they can go ahead and make their payment for the trip. And it's in August, the next to last weekend of August, Friday and Saturday, the 23rd and 24th, I believe. So check it out at golftripx.com. We would love to have you. I'd love to play golf with you. Had a great time last year at the Myrtle Beach World Am with the Dunigans and everyone who came from all over to play in the World Am. So we look forward to having our first event in Tennessee, and there may be more events to come, but at least we have this one in the books and ready to go. All right, so on this week's show, I kind of want to start with the Saudi International, and then we can kind of come back to some other things. Primarily the rules, maybe a little bit about the rules of golf, but I really want to start with the Saudi International, especially now that it's underway over in the King Abdullah Economic City in Saudi Arabia. It's a $3.5 million purse for a tournament. It's the first year for the event. It's the first time the European Tour has competed in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. It has a top-tier field loaded with the top six players in the world. You've got Justin Rose, you've got Dustin Johnson, you've got Brooks Koepka, you've got Bryson DeChambeau, you've got other superstars in the field, Patrick Reed, Ian Poulter, and kind of go down, Ernie Els. Go down, I know he's not a top-ranked player these days, but he is a superstar in golf. You've got a lot of recognizable players taking part of this, and many of them are appearing with an appearance fee paid presumably by the Saudi government, since they own everything in Saudi Arabia, so they are the sponsor. It means they're cutting the checks. And the response to this week has, outside of professional golfers themselves, I think been, why are we having this tournament? Why is the European Tour putting forward this event at a time just months after the Saudi government authorized the murder and dismemberment of Jamal Khashoggi, a dissident, a critic of the kingdom, and who had been in the United States as a foreign national, had been a columnist for the Washington Post, and had, again, been an outspoken critic of Mohammed bin Salman, the crown prince, and the prior regime even before that. And when he went to the Saudi consulate in Turkey to get a marriage license, he was apprehended, he was tortured, murdered, and dismembered, and his remains are unknown where they are. And happened not only in the Saudi consulate, but happened on Turkish soil, above all things, too. And the criticism, global criticism, obviously swift and fierce. From most pockets of the United States, that was the case. The Trump administration chose not to really do anything in terms of punitive sanctions for the Saudis for the murder of Jamal Khashoggi. They continue to stand by basically what is the outline of a promise to spend a lot of money on arms sales and defense contracting with the United States and U.S.-based countries. And that has basically kind of neutered, I think, the potential political response to this tournament. And so after the deal was signed, it was signed before Khashoggi's murder, but once he was killed in October, the questions obviously naturally arose to Keith Pelley, who was the chief executive of the European Tour, and the questions were very apparent. Will this tournament go on as continued? Will the deal remain in place? What are your expectations? Why are you continuing to partner with the Saudi government when it's very evident that they were behind this killing? And Keith Pelley, for his part, whose job it is, by the way, to create playing opportunities for his players, that is job one of the chief executive of the European Tour and job one of Jay Monahan, who was the commissioner of the PGA Tour, create playing opportunities. And Pelley has kind of sidestepped and waggled and demurred all he can to really not answer the fundamental questions that keep saying, you know, we're monitoring the situation, we have partners in the Saudis, we have a contract, blah, blah, blah. And he's never taken any kind of stand against the murder of Jamal Khashoggi, never saying as much as, we denounce it, we have a problem with it, we would like you to stop murdering people, foreign nationals, whatever. I mean, nothing. And so that has kind of created the pathway for players like Justin Rose and Dustin Johnson, who fundamentally said the same line, I'm going to play golf, I am not a politician, I am a golfer. Brooks Koepka said, you know, basically created a false equivalency and a relativism about it and said, you know, a lot of countries do a lot of horrible things, I'm not going to talk about it. And, well, he has a bit of a point. That wasn't the point he was trying to make. And Patrick Reed went and spoke to a school, series of school children in Saudi Arabia. He took the money. And Bryson DeChambeau went on European Tour broadcast television and Thursday, probably in a, you know, something recorded before the tournament, said he was thrilled that this is a chance to expand the game, grow the game into Saudi Arabia, and get a chance to show the world, you know, the Saudi country and blah blah blah. It's all a disgrace. It's all horrible. It's very interesting to me, as someone who, I think you've probably figured out by now, I lean left, and sometimes very hard left, but I lean left. And I think for anyone on the left, this is a non-starter. This is a what-are-you-doing kind of moment for the European Tour. The intriguing thing to me is that in a world where I could say up is up, and the right would tell me up is down, just because we fundamentally are supposed to disagree these days, I guess, there's been unified condemnation of this tournament and its existence and the European Tour's actions pretty much across the political spectrum. The only people who really seem to be defending it are the players themselves, obviously many of which who took some money to compete. And their point of view not very eloquently stated, seems to be, my job isn't to talk about, it's not my lane to talk about what they consider to be politics. They are wrong. They are completely wrong, because this isn't about politics. This has nothing to do with politics. That's why there is agreement across the political spectrum about this tournament, because it's not political. It's about humanity. It's about human rights. It's about how not only the Saudi government authorized and approved the murdering and dismemberment of a foreign dissident journalist on foreign soil, to add to it, but the reprehensible Saudi human rights record over the course of its history. And it can even come down to the fact that women couldn't drive until last year. And even still, that was made to be like a breakthrough or something. Basically, every woman's entire existence has to be authorized by a man. Husband, father, whatever. And if it's not 100% in line, then there's a problem. And that problem could lead to horrible penalty or death. It's illegal to be gay, any part of the LGBTQ community in Saudi Arabia. There are frequent murders and public murders of people who have been either accused of being a part of the LGBTQ community or whatever. That is reprehensible. And so, from the folks who are, you know, relativists and trying to defend this and go, well, you know, if you want to stick it to Saudi Arabia, why are you covering it? Or you know, you only care about the Saudi human rights record because you're a journalist and they killed a journalist. That could not be farther from the truth. And not everyone is a journalist, and many, many, many people care about the European Tour's decision to do this. There is a lot of moral hazard on the European Tour schedule, and frankly the PGA Tour schedule and PGA Tour umbrella for that matter. We talk about, obviously, Saudi Arabia this week because it's the tournament at hand, but the European Tour just spent the last 2 weeks and will spend another week at the end of the year in the United Arab Emirates, which is an absolute series of monarchies that are stitched together to form a single country, and dissidence is not permitted. There's a variety of other behaviors that are squashed or could result in penalties, fines, prison time, or death. We're going to go to Qatar in a couple of weeks on the European Tour. Oman as well. Both those are absolute monarchies. Both of them have horrible human rights records and workers' rights records. Qatar, in particular, with foreign nationals who come to do work for them, many of them from India and Pakistan and other countries, the Philippines. And then Oman has horrible workers' rights records for their own Omani nationals who work in the country, and foreign nationals who work in the country. So that's appalling and problematic. The European Challenge Tour goes to Kazakhstan, which is one of the biggest kleptocratic republics in the entire world. It's bordering on what amounts to authoritarianism. We could talk about Turkey in that regard. Recep Erdogan is an authoritarian kleptocrat who is enhancing himself while squashing dissidents and turning the country's once somewhat democratic institutions solely toward him. And then we have China. China is a huge problem. And no one likes talking about the Chinese problem for golf, because golf likes to think China will be a savior for golf, that access to 2 billion people in a country that's supposedly rapidly expanding and improving economic stability for its citizens, hint, it's not, that we should kind of just, you know, just lay back, lay off a little bit as they figure out this whole democracy and market economy versus command economy thing. That, no. China is a human rights abuser that squashes its own citizens. They are trying to kill or radically change the culture of Chinese Uyghurs, who are a sect of millions of Muslims in the western part of the country. They're literally infiltrating their communities, forcing Chinese Mandarin folks to live with them as Communist Party minders to enforce Communist Party rules and to prevent the Uyghurs from performing their faith, from living to their faith. And that's resulted in massive surveillance, re-education camps, labor camps, murders, and all kinds of disappearances. And that's to say nothing of people who are critical. Their crime is being Muslim. And that's to say nothing of how China treats its critics, mild, strong, or otherwise. And golf is totally cool with China. China's great. We have the PGA Tour China after some potential finagling and negotiating with the Xi Jinping government. He's basically the dictator for life. They rewrote the Communist Party rules in China for that to happen. And we have the WGC HSBC Champions there, which is a massive stage with top 50 players galore, tacitly endorsing China and the Chinese government, the Chinese approach by playing there. It's just, there's a lot of problem with about six countries in golf. It just so happens the schedule mostly deals with the European Tour, but PGA Tour China is a dozen to 15 tournament series that has that problem too. And as a sport, I don't think you can just look the other way when you go into these countries. In fact, I don't think you should be in these countries if that's how they approach treating their own people. I think the line is very simple. It's not, are you a corrupt government? There's corruption everywhere. I got that. South Africa is an incredibly corrupt government, but I think everyone supports the Sunshine Tour and the South African portion of the European Tour schedule. There's certainly plenty of corruption in plenty of city, state, and local governments in the United States. We have a national tour that we support. But I think the line is simple. If a government is authorizing the murder and persecution of people who are critical of the government or arbitrarily determined not fit to live for whatever reason, but arbitrarily fit not to live, then maybe golf shouldn't be in that country. Sport should not be in that country. And at least international platform, global star sport should not be in that country. And that's my biggest problem with this week. And that is just being swept under the rug by the European Tour, I find insulting. And so my call for this week was to acknowledge the players in the field so people can know who chose to take the money or who chose to compete. And I will publish the results at the end so people can see how much money those people were paid for tacitly endorsing the behavior of the Saudi government. That's it. I've said my piece about it. I feel like I've got it off my chest. The European Tour is not going to change because of me, but I feel like it's my, not right, but kind of a duty to say something about it. Because if few people are, then we too are also tacitly endorsing it, and I'm not okay with that kind of behavior. Okay. I don't know how you transition from that, but we will try our best and get into the second half of the show. And before we do that, I do want to tell you about our friends at AutoSlash. We've been working with them for the last several episodes, and it's been great to talk about the experience that's upgraded as a traveler because of working with AutoSlash. As you know, I travel all over to various tournaments, resorts, other golf events, and I'm almost always doing it by air. And that means I almost always wind up renting a car, just kind of how it is. And it's not a fun process. It's typically pretty annoying. And part of that is because there's always a bit of a guessing game about where and when to book my car rental. With AutoSlash, that has changed. AutoSlash is a free service which makes sure you get the best possible rate when you need to rent a car, even after you book. And they do that in two ways. When you book, or when you need to book, AutoSlash will search all the car rental providers at your pickup location to find you the best rate by applying every possible coupon code available to you, whether that's as a member of the public or whether you belong to organizations like Costco and AAA that offer their own discounts to members. You might be able to save money on a car rental and not even know it, but AutoSlash does and will look to your benefit. Then after you choose your car rental provider, AutoSlash will continue to look for better rates up until the very second you pick up your rental. Rates can drop without warning sometimes, as happened to me many times, and AutoSlash can be there to make sure that you're aware of better rates through the rental company that you booked or even through another company, so you can book, rebook without commitments and save that money. In addition to those pay-at-the-counter rentals, AutoSlash can save you money on what's called slash deals for big discounts on prepaid rentals. And more importantly, they are refundable up to 48 hours before pickup. That is not usually the case when you go through a Priceline or Travelocity or Hotels.com. The average AutoSlash user can expect to save 30% or more on their rental, and that's money you can use to have a little bit more fun in your travel or save for your business. So try AutoSlash for yourself. It's free, quick, and easy. Head to AutoSlash.com, and then you can tell AutoSlash your location, your desired travel dates, as well as those potential membership discounts. Voila, just a few minutes, you will get an email to your inbox from AutoSlash with the best rates available for your rental. So try it out for me, AutoSlash.com. All right, so the kind of happier news of the week, and I guess it's a total contrast to what's happening in Saudi Arabia, is the Waste Management Phoenix Open. It's a completely different tournament than what you're talking about with the Saudi International. And TPC Scottsdale hosts yet again. It's a really, really good field, one of their best fields in years. I know Tiger Woods isn't part of it this year, and it had been in recent memory, but even still, you've got a really stacked, solid field. You've got Justin Thomas, Xander Schauffele, you got Phil Mickelson, John Rahm, Cameron Smith. I mean, there are basically half of the world top 50 is in the field this week. And I think that tells you a little something about how well this tournament is run, the popularity of it, and that the tournament is so much more than the 16th hole. I love the 16th hole for what it is. It is a one-week spectacle that, particularly on Saturday, is just an absolute S show. It's just a drunk fest where people from all walks of life, men and women, young and old, creepy and not, get drunk up together and watch some golf and have some fun. And the players have fun with it for the most part. And it just is a great atmosphere for 4 days of the year. It doesn't need to be replicated. We talk about this pretty much every year. It doesn't need to be replicated. Let it be what it is. Don't try to make it anything that it's not. And don't try to put it anywhere that it doesn't need to be. And to their credit, the Thunderbirds, who are the Phoenix Open organizing folks, they have done a tremendous job in trying to build up the 17th hole too, the 18th hole at TPC Scottsdale, which was redone a couple of years by Tom Weisskopf. Did a very good job with it, I thought. And they have really made this more of a rounded out tournament, I think, than the general public knows. At the same time, it has also become, like I said, a show. And there are a lot of folks who get inebriated there. There are a lot of folks who do things they shouldn't be doing there. And, I mean, even that week is a challenge for the professionals. Steve Bowditch got pulled over and arrested that week, the Phoenix Open. He had been at a bar. He chose to drive his own car home, did not take an Uber, leave his car there. And he got popped. And he went to jail and bailed himself out, but went to jail. And there are a lot of folks who probably get popped for DUI that week. And it's not something that we talk about because we all kind of hope in this day and age that you make the right choice, right? That we all know drunk driving is a horrible idea, that you should not do it, and that there are solutions available, free and otherwise, to make sure you get home and get home safely without endangering other people's lives on the road. Uber, Lyft. There are a bunch of free car services, just a good old taxi, call a friend, I mean, whatever it is. But we don't talk about that a lot about this event because we're just so happy that so many people are there and want to drink up and have some fun. And for a lot of those people, the golf, honestly, is secondary. They're just there to have a good time with their friends and experience a unique atmosphere, right? And that's fine, too. We don't have to have people at every golf tournament or every person at every golf tournament doesn't have to be there to have a great time, watch golf. They just want to be there and have a good time. And that's what the PGA Tour is trying to do with its product. And they do it really well at the Phoenix Open. This is a good golf course. It's an interesting tournament. It's not just, you know, getting drunk for the sake of getting drunk. I mean, for some people it certainly is. But I feel like at the same time, though, it has become a little bit more of a pilgrimage for certain fans. Some folks I follow on Twitter, Adam Fonseca from GolfUnfiltered.com, and he works with the Hackers Paradise as well. Him and several of his friends are in Arizona this week. They're taking in the tournament for the first time. I know a number of other people who I follow on Twitter are trying to make their way out there, either this year or in future years, you know, whatever. They've got it on their list of places to see. just experiencing the tournament in and of itself is a thing. Now, I think that's cool. There aren't that many events like that on the PGA Tour that are held at the same place year to year. I mean, we've got the majors. Of course, you would want to go to Augusta National every year if you had the tickets, but good luck getting off of that waiting list. And so you have the Players, which is, I think, probably the best tournament on the PGA Tour in terms of just total fan experience. It's just very well run, and it is a major-like atmosphere that has a lot of party vibes to it, which I do like a lot about Jack's Beach, to be honest with you. There are other events that are really, really good, too. I mean, there's no shortage of them, but I feel like if you were to try to pick tournaments on the PGA Tour schedule that you knew you had to go see, not necessarily because of the golf course, I mean, Sawgrass is great, but just because of the atmosphere, you would put Phoenix 1, I think I would put Sawgrass 2, and then from there, you kind of start to maybe pick and choose favorites, I guess, but the PGA Tour is so much of a regional tour now. I mean, there's basically nothing in the Northwest. There's an increasing portion in the Midwest. I can't wait to see what Detroit does with the PGA Tour. I'm a big fan of Detroit's comeback, and I've spent a little time in the city, a couple days, as a tourist over the last couple of years, and really enjoyed spending time there, seeing them coming back from what was fundamentally a municipal bankruptcy. And it's a great story. I hope the PGA Tour does very well there, even though they basically have taken my PGA Tour event, the one here in the D.C. area, which honestly wasn't that big of a scene. It just wasn't. And for whatever reason, it kind of failed in that regard. But if you look at the rest of the PGA Tour schedule, there just aren't that many events where you just got to be there. It's not because it's the PGA Tour. It's because it's that event. And so I think this is what makes it unique. You could have a web.com tour field there, and I think you would still have the same kind of atmosphere, and I think it would still be just about as enjoyable. And that the field is as good as it is, I think, says something about the quality of the tournament, how it's run. This tournament treats caddies in particular probably better than most any other PGA Tour event this side of the Players and outside of the majors. They really go out of their way. The Travelers Championship is another that's really well supported by the community. Different vibe. I mean, it's not, you know, let's go get drunk vibe. Well supported by the community, but not that vibe. And they treat the caddies extremely well. Better than most. And I think that goes a long way getting the support of the players, because caddies are part of their team. And they're often overlooked, I think, at the peril of either golf tournaments or the PGA Tour. But when they get it right, it really does mean something. And this tournament, Travelers, some others, really do go out of their way to make sure they invite young, up-and-coming players. Guys who may not have PGA Tour status, may even still be in college, or may still be an amateur. But they go out of their way to invite them and make sure they get some exposure. And those guys keep coming back. Justin Thomas, John Rahm. There are a handful of players that this tournament, the Phoenix Open, has invited over the years. And now that they're kind of bigger names, Cameron Champ, they come back, because they are appreciative that a tournament was willing to give them a spot. And Travelers has done the same thing forever. It's a brilliant, brilliant strategy. And I know not every tournament has that capability. We've got Pebble Beach next week. That's the kind of veterans and stars tournament. You've got Genesis Open in 2 weeks at Riviera. That is a stars tournament. They do exemptions. They have some. They have a collegiate shootout, which is cool. They brought back the Charlie Sifford exemption, which is great. But that's a big boy tournament. That's not a, hey, let's invite some rooks out here or some amateurs to see what happens. And so, or guys who are struggling to keep their card or whatever. So I think this tournament really does kind of get everything right. It does the small things well. It does its one big thing really well. I know there have been some calls for maybe scaling back the 16th hole a little bit. I think that's something worth looking at, because, frankly, it kind of gets out of hand there, from what I understand. But I think that what they have managed to accomplish and still keep it a fundamentally really enjoyable tournament for everyone involved is a pretty big achievement, and there's really nothing like it in golf. And so I want to call that out and say, you know, on the opposite end of what's happening in Saudi Arabia, this is one thing that gets it right, and they do it really well. And I wish that there were more places on the PGA Tour that had events like this. Not exactly the same. I do not want exactly the same. But events like this, well run, support young players, gets rewarded by having those young players come back, great community support, supports caddies, does all everything, all the small things right. It's one of the best tournaments of the year. And so I know that they're going to spend a lot of time on NBC this year. CBS has the Super Bowl on Saturday and Sunday showing the 16th hole, blah, 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 blah. That's great. But realize that there's so much more going on with this golf course, this field, and this tournament than just that one hole, just that one approach shot each day. And I think you can appreciate it even a little bit more than maybe you do. All right, that's going to do it for us this week on the show. I have to apologize just quickly at the end of the show because we haven't done the show weekly so far this year, and that's in large part because of the new travel site, getting things up and running, just kind of building things out that needed to be built out. And I'm really happy with where it is, and hopefully with kind of January behind us, we can start to really dig in on weekly shows, having guests on, talking about golf every week, whether that's professional golf, the adventures of golf, whatever it is, but having guests on to talk about it. And so I still want to remain steadfast in that goal, that promise for this year for you guys. But January was a bit of a blur, and I really don't know where it went, but we made it, and so far so good for 2019 for Golf News Net, even though, frankly, not spending a whole lot of time working on the site like I normally would in the off season to get GTX ready, and it's been a very rewarding, interesting, fun start. So we're going to have Darren Bunch come on the show. We'll talk about the mission of Golf Trip X, his travels and his experiences in this world of crazy world of golf. And so we'll do that in a couple of weeks. And then check out the Golf Trip X site, golftripx.com, and sign up for that Sweetens Cove trip. Again, not a lot of spots left. Once they're gone, they're gone. We can't really expand it anymore. It's a nine-hole course, so we can only have so many people. But if you fill up on that trip and don't get in on it, we certainly will have more in the future. Maybe not to Sweetens Cove right away, but we will be announcing some more in the coming future. And really excited about that. Maybe even Tobacco Road. We'll see what happens there. Anyhow, if you listen to the show through iTunes, I really appreciate it. If you give us 5 stars, helps us reach more people. And since we've done this forever, we don't have really like new shiny stuff anymore. This is just my jam, and I'm so glad that you're along for the ride. But I would love to have more folks listening to the show, as always. So a 5-star review is appreciated. Otherwise, shoot me a note, ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com. Tell me what you like, don't like about the show. Sign up for GNN Plus over at golfnewsnet.com. And if you want to do none of those things and you use Twitter, follow me on Twitter @RyanBalanji. Until next time, I'm Ryan Balanji saying thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next time on the 19th Hole Golf Show.